Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All participants will be on a listen-only mode. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Marla Bielanek. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's meeting, Community Development Advisory. The Advisory Committee to the U.S. Department of Treasury's Community Development Financial Institutions Fund, or the CDFI Fund. My name is Marla Bielanek. I'm the Chair of the Advisory Board, and I'd like to welcome the Advisory Board members for their time and participation today. I'd also like to extend a warm welcome to the members of the public who are joining us online. Thank you for your interest in the work of the CDFI Fund. As a reminder, this Advisory Board is statutorily mandated, and its purpose is to provide advice to the Director of the CDFI Fund on the activities of the CDFI Fund. One way we do that is through the formation of subcommittees, and at our last meeting on July 31st, we heard from the CDFI Certification Subcommittee and voted on recommendations that they formulated. Today, in addition to Marcia Seigel, we will hear from the following CDFI Fund staff: Senior Advisor Jeff and Manager of Certification Policy and Evaluation, Michelle Dickens, who will walk us through an abbreviated review of those recommendations and the final revised CDFI certification application that was released on December 7th. They will also provide an update on implementation. We will also be hearing from New Markets Tax Credit Program Manager, Christopher Allison, who will brief us on the New Markets Tax Credit Native Initiative. Members of the viewing public can find the agenda at www.cdfi.gov/CDAB under today's date. But first, I'd like to thank the CDFI Fund staff and the board for their engagement throughout these past couple of years as we've seen out the pandemic and gotten through the finish line of the new certification process. Their engagement has been unparalleled and very robust, and I just wanted to take a minute to thank them and also to thank the fund staff for all the hard work that went into getting across this very, very important finish line. I would now like to invite our Vice Chair, Dave Glazer, to say a few words as well.
Thank you, Marla. I, too, would like to acknowledge and thank the CDFI Fund staff for their work on updated certification and its successful rollout. I've heard positive feedback from CDFIs across the country, and your willingness to receive that feedback on certification was a big part of the success. I'm also excited by the fund's efforts to further expand New Markets Tax Credits for Native communities, and I look forward to updates on that front today. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. So I would like to formally begin the meeting with the roll call of the Advisory Board. For the record, please note that Graham Steele will not be joining us today. As I call your name, please respond present. Seema Agnani.
Present.
Wizipan Gariat. Dave Glazer.
Present.
Harold Pettigrew.
Present.
Mia Pittman. And we noted that Graham would not be with us. Michael Swack.
Present.
And Darren Williams.
Present.
Great. Having quorum, I call this meeting of the Community Development Advisory Board to order. We will now transition to our first presentation. I'd like to invite Christopher Allison, manager of the New Markets Tax Credit Program, to the virtual podium.
Good afternoon. Again, my name is Christopher Allison, and I'm the program manager for the New Markets Tax Credit Program. Today, I'm going to give you an update on our efforts to increase New Markets investment in Native areas, excuse me, through our NMTC Native Initiative. I'm excited by the work we have done over the past few years and am happy to share the deliverables with you and the public. I believe this work will make a meaningful difference in increasing NMTC investments in Indian country. So As of fiscal year 2021, there have been approximately $1.8 billion in new markets tax credit investments in Indian country, and we recognize there is significantly more work to be done. Through site visits and stakeholder engagement, we learned about the unique challenges and opportunities in closing new markets tax credit investments on tribal land. In April 2022, the CDFI Fund launched the NMTC Native Initiative with an overall goal of increasing NMTC investment in Native areas. We had three objectives. First, increase Native CDE, Native CDFI, and tribal participation in the program. Second, improve Native CDE's ability to receive allocations. And third, increase NMTC investments in Indian country through partnerships and access to information. Next slide, please. So working through a contractor, Big Water Consulting, the NMTC Native Initiative had six key deliverables. First, an analysis of past NMTC investments in Indian country to help us learn what investments have been made and where. Second, technical workshops and individual training sessions. This was to provide information and training to tribal entities interested in using NMTCs for financing in their communities. There were also two different reports. First was a market research report to better understand community economic development in Indian country, including the opportunities and challenges, and a case study report. So this was based on the NMTC data analysis. The contractor examined case studies of successful past NMTC transactions to develop best practices and recommendations to increase investment on tribal land. There was also a self-assessment guide to provide a tool to tribal entities interested in participating in the program. And finally, best practices workshops. And these are to share the information learned during the initiative with Native CDFIs, Native CDEs, and other tribal entities, as well as sharing it with non-Native CDEs, lenders, and investors to create partnerships. Next slide, please. So at a very high level, the analysis of past transactions found $1.8 billion in new markets have been invested in Indian country. This represents 225 investments in 149 businesses and projects. These investments were provided by 51 unique CDEs. NMTC investments in Indian country made up about 2.6% of all NMTC investments. This demonstrates that there has been meaningful NMTC investment in Indian country since the inception of the program, but there is significantly more work to be done. Next slide, please. I won't spend too much time on this slide, but this is a visual, a map, where you can see both the different sort of Native communities, those are in yellow, as well as the NMTC investments that have occurred, which are in blue. So you can see that they're spread across the country and do represent geographic diversity. Next slide, please. As part of the initiative, the CDFI Fund hosted two technical workshops over multiple days. These workshops were for Native organizations interested in participating in new markets. So the first workshop, which was really an introduction to the program, was held in September of 2022. There were 15 participants from 9 organizations. This was really intended to assist participants in determining if the NMTC program can help them achieve their community economic development goals. The topics covered included the types of projects that are eligible for new markets, how the financing is structured, the roles of the various participants in an NMTC transaction, and ways that the program could be used to invest in NMTC Native areas. Next slide. So the second workshop was about how to access and use new markets. This was held in February of 2023. There were 27 participants from 18 organizations. This covered more technical aspects of accessing new markets tax credits. So this included the application process, the development of an NMTC-specific business plan, technical information necessary to be competitive, and the compliance-related responsibilities associated with receiving an allocation. After those two workshops, we offered or provided 74 hours of direct technical assistance to six Native organizations that were interested in sort of following up and learning more about utilizing the tax credit. And there was sort of an equal division here between those entities that were interested in becoming a CDE and applying for an allocation of tax credits, or they may already be a CDE and have applied, as well as those that were looking to finance a business or project in their communities. Next slide. So the first report produced for the initiative was a market research report on community economic development in Indian Country. And the purpose of the report was to identify and review existing research and data on the unique history, challenges, industries, actors, and available funding and capital sources that shape community economic development in Native communities. It was also to identify community and economic development strategies that have attracted capital to Native areas in the last 10 to 20 years. It was meant to be serve as a resource to tribal and Native leaders, economic development entities operating within Native lands, government agencies, and others involved in economic development, promotion, and regulation, and others who wish to better understand economic development in Indian Country. Next slide, please. The case study report includes recommendations and best practices gathered from case studies from past NMTC transactions in Indian Country. So for the methodology, the research team developed a list of projects that would illustrate varied, successful, and replicable approaches with specific on-the-ground examples. The researchers worked closely with the CDFI Fund to curate a list of 9 representative projects. The team conducted interviews with at least one community development entity for each project and with the underlying business that was financed for several projects. The surveys were a precursor to each of the interviews. I will note there were some limitations to this methodology. The researchers intended to reach representatives of the community development entity, the business that received financing, the investor, the tribe, if that was different from the business, and the leveraged lender in the transaction. So for each of those case studies selected. However, due to turnover within the organization and constraints around the number of organizations that could be contacted, the response rates among non-CD entities was relatively low. You know, I still think we got a lot of value out of the conversations, and I think the best practices and recommendations represent that, but I did want to sort of note that limitation on our sample size. Next slide, please. So I want to touch briefly on some of the findings from the survey we used for the case studies. 2/3 of the responding CDEs had over 10 years of experience lending or investing in Indian Country prior to the transaction. More than half of these CDEs stated they encountered tribal cultural or legal matters that had to be addressed as part of the project process. About 1/5 of the CDEs had a pre-existing relationship with a tribe or project sponsor involved in the case project, and 2/3 of responding CDEs stated they would request future allocations to finance other new markets transactions in Indian Country. Next slide. There are a number of best practices and recommendations, which I don't have the time to go through each of them today, but I do want to point out that these are directed to various stakeholders, both native and non-native, government, investors, lenders. There's a lot of information that we will be sharing through the best practices workshops that I'll cover a little bit later. Next slide. We also developed a self-assessment guide. This guide was created to help native entities determine how they can best take advantage of the New Markets Tax Credit Program. So, for example, to determine which role, if any, would be appropriate for them. It provides an overview of the different program roles, the different ways of participating in a transaction. It outlines the application and allocation process. And it also includes questions designed to help native organizations assess their capacity to apply for an allocation. Next slide. So we're currently in the process of sharing the findings from the research and analysis performed during the Native Initiative with a broad array of stakeholders. This includes both in-person and virtual events, two events to focus on specific issues related to Hawaii and Alaska, and a briefing for federal agency partners on the findings. We've done several events focused on Native CDFI convenings. We're also facilitating a workshop at an NMTC industry conference with the goal of building partnerships between Native and non-Native stakeholders. As you can see, we're attempting to share the information with multiple audiences with the goal of sharing it broadly. Next slide. So we have published all of the Native Initiative materials, including reports, training materials, and the self-assessment guide on the CDFI Fund's website for the public to access. I encourage everyone to check out those materials. That concludes my update on the Native Initiative. Again, I'm very happy with the results of this work and think it's an important step to increasing NMTC investment in Indian Country. I'm also happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you, Christopher. I'm looking at the if any of my fellow board members are demonstrating interest in asking a question. I also wanted to note before we go into Q&A that Dennis Alvord and Mia Pittman are indeed in the meeting. So I just wanted to note that for the record.
Well, I would make a quick intervention if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Christopher, thanks so much for this report. I'm really excited to hear about this body of work and the research that you've undertaken. I'm particularly enthusiastic about this body of work, as this is an area that we at the U.S. Department of Commerce, at the Economic Development Administration, have become increasingly active in, and that is in, supporting various different types of indigenous finance. In fact, we made an award in 2022 to a coalition of 9 CDFIs across North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, and Montana that I think is going to be transformative in supporting financial investments to Native entrepreneurs and small businesses. And I think that research like this and initiatives like this can be really helpful and additive to those efforts. So I'm particularly interested in hearing more about the best practices workshops that you mentioned and when they'll be occurring and how we can learn more about the recommendations for other federal agencies, particularly in the community and economic development space.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for that. If we could go back one slide, if that's possible. I think I sort of quickly breezed through, but this, some of these events have already occurred. Obviously, the Opportunity Finance Network Native Gathering and the Native CDFI Network events have already occurred. But as you can see, if you look sort of to the lower part, there are a few different events. We are also planning a federal agency briefing, which I can be sure that you have that information to share with your colleagues. Highly encourage. Again, this is some of the recommendations in the report are around the coordination of federal agencies that are working in Indian country. So we definitely wanted to have a dedicated session to go over some of those findings. So I'd be happy to follow up with you afterwards.
Great. Yes, I think I do have the information or just received that information, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with other federal colleagues as well. Thank you again for sharing that.
Hi, Marla. Harold here. Have a quick question.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's more just administratively. Will the presentation that's been shared and walked through here be shared out with the advisory board?
Yes, it will.
Awesome. Thank you.
Giving space in case there are additional questions. All right. Well, I will take the liberty of making my own closing comment, Christopher. That was a fantastic presentation, and I personally wanted to commend you for the technical assistance aspect of the work. I know from our work with our members that the hurdles, you know, tend to be around eligibility and application, and I just think it's really great that you all rolled up your sleeves and got in there with potential applicants. So very, very pleased to see that, and we'll be reaching out to see how we can partner in the future. So with that, I will turn it over to Marcia Seigel, Jeff Merkowitz, and Michelle Dickens, who will provide an update on CDFI certification and implementation. Thank you so much, Christopher.
Marcia, we cannot hear you.
Okay.
Are you on mute?
Now you can, yes. I just want to echo the other commenters about this initiative. It was great, and I also want to compliment Christopher for his leadership of this initiative. It was outstanding, and we're hoping that it bears a lot of fruit for investment in Native country. I'm going to switch now to certification, and I'm first going to introduce Dennis Nolan. Dennis is the Deputy Director for Finance and Operations for the CDFI Fund, and that is the part of the CDFI Fund where certification lives, and he has been steering the ship on certification for quite a long time, since the beginning of when we started to, you know, approach revamping certification. And so a lot of times he doesn't come to these things, these public things, but I just wanted to take this opportunity to commend him for steering the ship. And he and his team, which includes another key person who's not speaking today, Shannon McKay, the manager of the Financial Strategies and Research team, along with Michelle Dickens and Jeff Merkowitz, who are going to speak today, are going to be responsible for implementation of the new certification application, the annual certification report, which we abbreviate ACR, and the transaction level report. So I wanted everybody to meet Dennis. Thank you, Dennis. I'm going to turn this over now to Jeff and to Michelle. Jeff was going to speak first, but he was having some technical difficulties, so I'm going to check in.
I'm here. I just don't think I have the visual.
Okay. Well, if you're not likely to get it, then you can go ahead, or we can go to Michelle first.
I'll go ahead. I'm not likely to get it at this point.
All right. So Jeff Merkowitz is the senior advisor to the director, and he has been the one of the key staff people that helped develop a lot of the primary mission sections of the application, and he's going to kind of go through some of the changes that we made to the application and talk about how they align with the recommendations from the board. As Marla stated, the board at the previous board meeting delivered some recommendations on the certification application, and we're going to try to not go over every single one, but definitely, focus on the highlights of the ones that we did end up in the same place or close to the same place as the recommendations. So go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry that you're not able to be on camera, but we do appreciate your presentation and your work. I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Marcia. And so, yeah, as Marcia said, I'm going to cover some key issues that were raised by the advisory board, both in primary mission and target market, and Michelle will probably address some others. But the advisory board did support the principle in the primary mission section that product protections consistent with the ATRQM rule should be required for any CDFI engaged in mortgage lending, but also supported allowing for exceptions with a, quote, legitimate community development purpose. So the final application does reflect new standards for CDFI certification related to mortgage lending that are inspired by the ATRQM rule. However, the application also provides some flexibility and in some cases allows applicants to offer an explanation in the application of how an applicant's engagement in an otherwise disqualifying practice is consistent with a community development mission. Firstly, it should be noted that the scope of the questions related to mortgage lending has narrowed significantly from what was originally proposed and commented on back in November 2022. By mortgage, we make clear that we are referring specifically to a consumer credit transaction that is secured by a lien on a single-family owner-occupied residence. Furthermore, we also identify a number of exceptions to the mortgages covered by the standards, such as certain bridge loans or those used to avoid foreclosure that might serve a legitimate community development purpose. Additionally, as noted, certain application questions allow for further explanation to demonstrate how a practice is consistent with a community development mission. For example, for the purposes of CDFI certification, applicants' underwriting standards should include an evaluation of a mortgage consumer and or small business borrower's ability to pay back a loan. Applicants that do not originate all such loans based upon an assessment of whether the borrower is able to pay back a loan may be determined ineligible for CDFI certification, but will have an opportunity to offer a narrative as part of their response to the question explaining how the absence of such an assessment serves a community development purpose, which the CDFI fund will evaluate based on the extent to which the explanation is consistent with the principles of community development financing referenced earlier. Similarly, applicants that offer covered mortgages with balloon payments, or unless they are provided through a government program, mortgages that carry an original maximum term longer than 30 years may have to demonstrate that such mortgages meet additional conditions and or will have an opportunity to justify such practices in the application. On the other hand, there are also a number of mortgage lending practices that, unless covered by one of the listed exceptions, would automatically make an applicant ineligible for certification. These include failure to verify the income or assets of the borrower of any such mortgage loan product, offering mortgages that include negative amortization or interest-only payments, charging upfront points and fees to the consumer that exceed 3% or the qualified mortgage limits for smaller loans, or underwriting any such mortgages at less than the maximum rate in the first 5 years. One important thing to note very briefly about the scope of the responsible financing questions that cover mortgage lending is that the scope of the different questions, although very similar, include some important differences. For instance, One important difference is that the question on evaluating a mortgage borrower's ability to pay back a loan includes subordinate loans, while the other product protection questions apply only to non-subordinate mortgages. The applicability of these different requirements is spelled out in the application and guidance, so I won't get into all the detail here, but there are important differences worth paying attention to and that are meant to acknowledge that certain practices or products may be reasonable in certain contexts, but not in others. Finally, for any applicant engaging or seeking to engage in any financing activity that does not currently meet the standards for responsible financing practices of the primary mission test, but that it believes serves a community development purpose and is consistent with a community development mission, the applicant will be able to seek amendment to the standards that allows for that activity. To be clear, however, the CDFI fund will not approve individual exceptions to the primary mission test or make case-by-case determinations. If the CDFI fund believes a specific activity under certain circumstances is consistent with a community development mission, we will amend these standards, and that amendment will be made available to all CDFIs and future applicants. If, on the other hand, the CDFI fund denies the request to amend the standards, the applicant will be prohibited from engaging in the practices in order to remain eligible for CDFI certification. One other issue that I'll touch upon briefly has to do with the certification standards for responsible financing related to consumer lending. The advisory board noted concerns raised by banks that an interest rate threshold of 36% MAPR could result in reduction of banks offering alternatives to payday lending, and that the use of the military annual percentage rate standard would create unnecessary burdens on banks' infrastructure. To be clear, as was the case in previous drafts of the application, lending above 36% MAPR for consumer loans is not by itself automatically disqualifying under the final standards, but would be so only if in combination with any of a number of additional listed practices or characteristics associated with those loans, such as high default rates or a lack of certain protections associated with the fees charged on such loans or during a refinance. I also want to be clear that while the standard uses the MAPR methodology, applicants and CDFIs are not required to calculate, disclose, or report the MAPR for their consumer loans. For certification purposes, applicants are required only to attest as to whether or not any of their consumer loans allow for a rate in excess of 36% MAPR. And our FAQs provide guidance on alternatives to calculating the MAPR that still would allow an applicant to make such an attestation. Wanted to touch on a few target market issues as well. So the advisory board also highlighted several concerns related to the target market test, a number of which were actually more specific to the initial proposed list of pre-approved target market assessment methodologies as opposed to the target market test itself. The final list of pre-approved target markets assessment methodologies reflects changes and new methodologies that we incorporated based on feedback and recommendations we received from stakeholders. These include the opportunity for Native populations to self-report as members of a Native targeted population, the ability to count financial products to a for-profit entity as a target market loan if the end user recipients of the loan to or investment in that entity are members of a target market, and the addition of several accepted proxies and methodologies to demonstrate service to a low-income targeted population. Furthermore, final list of pre-approved methodologies is probably a misnomer, as applicants and CDFIs will still be able to propose new assessment methodologies for consideration. We have also made this process and the information needed for the CDFI fund to make a determination more structured and transparent, and any new methodology that we approve will be added to the list and made available to all other applicants and CDFIs. final issue that I want to mention today has to do with our changes to the target market requirements associated with customized investment areas, as well as countywide and parish-wide investment areas. The advisory board highlighted bank concerns over the challenges of meeting these new standards. The final application maintains the condition for counting an applicant's financing activity in the non-qualifying census tracts of a customized investment area if at least 85% of an applicant's total financing activity in the customized investment area is within the individually qualifying census tracts of that customized investment area. This standard will apply to countywide and parish-wide investment areas as well, which by regulation can only be in non-metro areas. However, recognizing that rural lenders serving a non-metro customized investment area, county, or parish may need additional time to reach this threshold, until October 1, 2026, the standard for applicants serving such areas will be that they must direct at least 75% of their financing activity within the individually qualifying census tracts of the respective non-metro geography in order for the activity in the non-qualifying tracts of that non-metro geography to count toward the 60% target market benchmark. Beginning October 1, 2026, all applicants and CDFIs, whether operating in a metro or non-metro geography, will need to meet the 85% standard highlighted above. This new standard ensures that an applicant serving a customized investment area or countywide or parish-wide investment area still directs at least 51% of its financing activity within qualifying census tracts, given that the applicant's financing activity outside of its investment area geography may be directed entirely to non-qualifying census tracts. And with that, I will turn it over to Michelle.
Michelle, before you begin, I'd like to interrupt. Could we ask the operator, Julie, to take the presentation for the New Markets Native Initiative down, please? And thank you, Michelle, go ahead.
Sure, Bill. Thank you, and thank you, Jeff. Hello, everyone. I am Michelle Dickens, and it is my pleasure to be with you today. In addition to the changes Jeff noted, I would like to bring a few additional modifications made to specific sections of the CDFI certification application policies and or requirements to your attention. When it comes to adding new OTPs or other targeted population target markets, the CDFI fund will continue to review data that would allow for additional targeted populations to count as allowed OTPs. And we have included Filipino and Vietnamese as pre-approved other targeted populations, and that right now is available to every applicant. When it comes to allowing development services to count towards financing entity activity, as you may know, the requirement is always to have both asset and staff time dedicated to the provision of financial products and or financial services to be the predominant business activity of the CDFI. And so development services, as per our regulation, is not allowed to be counted towards staff time or assets. So to provide some flexibility on that, the CDFI fund will allow organizations to engage in significant financial products and or significant financial services business activity, but who also have major assets that skew their assets or staff time data so that it looks as though they're not predominantly a financing entity, to request certain assets or staff time to be excluded for consideration. These organizations will need to provide an explanation as to why such assets appear incorrectly to indicate that they are not a predominantly financing entity, or why the assets are essential for what it does to conduct its financial products and or financial services activity. Moving on to development services, we provided a little bit of clarification here. The CDFI fund has clarified the description of eligible financial services as a structured training, counseling, or technical assistance service that promotes access to and or success with an entity's financial products and financial services. A structured development service would be offered regularly to eligible clients, have a defined curriculum or written set of goals or objectives, and for which the outcomes of success may be the completion of specific steps that prepare the current or potential customers to achieve or increase their knowledge about CDFI financial products and financial services. In addition, the CDFI fund will allow financial education for youth to count towards development services if it promotes opening a depository account or building savings in an account with the applicant. And then lastly, we had the CDFI certification agreement. There was a little bit of grumbling about the record-keeping timeframe. And so the CDFI fund has decided to reduce the record retention requirement from 10 years to 5 years to be more reasonable and aligned with other federal regulations or requirements. So now I'll move on to speak a little bit more about the activities related to the implementation of the CDFI certification application. To assist with implementation of the revised application, on December the 10th, 2023, the CDFI fund previewed the Microsoft Word version of the CDFI certification application. We had guidance materials, a frequently asked questions document, along with a timeline for the application, when that would be available to applicants, the timeline for currently certified CDFIs to become recertified, and the dates that the CDFI fund would host webinars and conference calls to support all of the applicants. The first step was to provide a webinar, which included a question and answer segment, and that was held on December the 13th, 2023, to highlight the changes and or requirements to become certified. The second step was to make the online version of the CDFI certification application and the abbreviated transaction level report, or TLR, available to new applicants, and we did that on December the 20th. Since deploying the CDFI certification application, the team has been focused on post-implementation phase. The certification team, along with the financial strategies and research business unit, has been managing the queue of calls and questions that come in via email, phone, and the AMIS service request portal. We monitor these methods of communication daily and provide timely responses. We are also tracking the questions received to identify questions that would be raised to a level of becoming an FAQ, or identifying any kinks in the armor of the collections tool where we would want to become an impediment for applicants or for us during our review process. So our plan is to continue to provide some clarifying updates to the guidance materials and or to the FAQs as frequently as necessary. One thing that hasn't changed about is our commitment to providing an opportunity to respond to the industry CDFI certification application questions during an hour-long live conference call. So every third Thursday of every month, beginning in February the 15th, we will host those calls. We will also host another general CDFI certification webinar on January 31st. Details will be posted to our website. Similarly, we will resume quarterly annual certification and data collection report hour-long live conference calls beginning in March the 7th. The ACR calls are intended to assist certified CDFIs with the reporting requirements, and it's really, really important for CDFIs to file their ACRs annually because it helps us to improve our view of the industry, and it provides the CDFI fund with confirmation that organizations are reviewing their own ability to adhere to the certification requirements regularly and provide data for the CDFI fund to confirm their attestation. As I mentioned before, new organizations can apply for CDFI certification as of December the 20th, 2023. However, CDFIs currently certified under the prior standards are allowed a grace period to come into compliance with the updated policies. The CDFI fund has asked CDFIs to let us know by February the 1st whether or not they want to recertify early or by the deadline for all currently certified CDFIs, which will be December 20th of 2024. We are committed to turning those reviews around as quickly as humanly possible, given everything else we're working on, but we've given ourselves 12 months to get through all of the recertification applications. There have been previous conversations, and Jeff touched upon it, about allowing flexibilities for financial products, financial services, target markets, target market assessment methodologies, and responsible lending standards that are not currently allowed to be considered. As part of the application process, applicants will propose their items to be considered, and the CDFI fund will vet that information. And if approved, as Jeff mentioned, we will make that available to all applicants and CDFIs. We do have the revised annual certification, the revised annual certification report, that is currently active in our system and ready to go as soon as we are ready to accept our first ACR under the revised application policies as early as this spring. So timeline just kind of waiting for that first CDFI to be certified, and then that CDFI to have to come in for its annual review. Lastly, I'll just reaffirm that the CDFI fund will continue to review and update the CDFI certification policies and make necessary adjustments as needed. And the certification team will provide ongoing compliance reviews via site visits and or desk audits to ensure that the CDFIs are adhering to the standards as required. And that's my time. So if there are any questions, otherwise I'll hand it back over to Marcia.
Marla, would you like to entertain any questions, or I could close out this portion?
I'm happy to open it up. I think we have sufficient time if the board has questions.
I did want to kind of just picking up on what Michelle said about updating certain aspects. At the last meeting when the recommendations were presented, and I think perhaps even at the subcommittee meeting, but definitely at the last meeting, what was discussed was that, as we stated, we'll be taking on updates and things like that on a cyclical basis, and that we did want the board to be definitely advising this fund about implementation issues. And so that would be what I would say going forward on some kind of cyclical basis, and we could work that out where, you know, as I think we need the body of implementation to happen now, as Michelle described, getting, a large portion of the CDFIs through this recertification process, new certification, before we can assess any kind of changes that we might want to make. But that would be, I think, the next step for the board, is to basically, Dave mentioned he's been hearing good things, but you're all going to hear things as time, as the implementation goes through. And so then at a certain point, the board could revisit. That would be, I think that's what we had discussed before.
Absolutely. And I really appreciate that. I think it's a fresh approach to just know that we'll have moments in time that we can check in and just provide feedback with regard to the implementation process. And since it's just rolling out, that kind of feedback may be growing over time. So I appreciate that, Marcia.
Marla, I had a quick question
yes.
with you. So,
is this Michael?
Comment, yes, this is Michael yeah. Swack. A comment and quick question. The comment is to really thank the staff. We really think this looks much, much better than the earlier version and really addressed a lot of our concerns. I think it's a really good policy going forward, and I think, you know, regular review makes sense. But this came a long way from what we initially saw, and speaking as a member of the subcommittee of the advisory board that looked at this, we really appreciate Dennis, Michelle, and Marcia, the work that you put into it. This really seems like a workable recertification strategy that I think addressed all of our major concerns. So thank you for having an advisory board where you actually listen to the advice. That's so unusual. My really pointed question of you, Marcia, and don't get too nervous, is could you please pronounce your last name for us, because I think I've been saying it wrong all this time.
Well, that might be the easiest thing I have to do all day, Michael. It's pronounced Seigel. Thank you. Okay.
Arlo was saying I didn't know that, so thank you.
Hey, Marlo, this is Darren.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a comment if possible.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I wanted to add my thanks to the CDFI Fund staff, Marcia, your staff, Dennis, Michelle, all those that are working on and have worked on certification. You all have been responsive to concerns from the industry, and I just want to add my thanks to that. Also, my thanks for the way that you have rolled this out and your willingness to be accessible and available and provide additional feedback. You are correct that we are receiving a lot of comments, and we'll continue to have questions as this process plays out. I will say that the majority of which have been pretty positive. While there's a little angst, the final version went a long way in relieving people's many concerns that I have heard, and really appreciate the dedication and effort that you guys put into this. And I know that it was not easy. You're trying to strike a fine balance by protecting the CDFI Fund brand, but also allowing for those of us working in the industry to be flexible and to serve our clients well. So I just want to add my thanks and appreciation for your hard work and your willingness to continue to engage as we go about the process of being certified and recertified. So thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to add one other thank you, and that's actually to Marla, because I think Marla really took her job seriously as chair of this and really pulled people together to say, you know, we should have a say and have some advice and push to get it done. So, Marla, thank you to you for really taking a leadership role in getting the advisory board involved, because I think otherwise it wouldn't have happened.
Here, here, Michael. I agree. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, this is just a mutual admiration society, because I was going to thank Michael for heading up the CDFI certification subcommittee and consolidating so many thoughts and points of view into a document and into recommendations. So, you know, it was a fantastic team effort. But, Michael, you bore a heavy load there, so it's greatly appreciated, and I appreciate your kind words. Other questions or comments?
I had a question, Marla.
Yeah.
This is Dave.
I see.
Marcia, given that going forward, certification will be cyclical in review to make sure it remains up to date, is it our intention to keep the subcommittee for certification active and moving through the next couple of years, even though that cycle may be 2 or 3 years in duration?
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, sorry, something weird is going on. Okay, I think Bill and I will have to discuss that, or Bill and Marla will have to discuss that, or whoever the chair is, because there's a number of ways it can happen, Dave, right? It can be part of another committee, you know, or I think this subcommittee has done its job, you know, and reported to the board. It was, as was stated, Marla did this, you know, had the special subcommittee, but you do have other subcommittees, so it's kind of up to you how you want to organize it. I think the point is, and I think is to, and a couple of board members have spoken to this, that some group needs to take responsibility to be compiling this, you know, on a cyclical basis. So I don't know, Dennis, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, I think as we talked about, Michelle talked about, we're going to be even internally looking at, you know, as we look at what questions come in and what feedback we're getting, I mean, we're going to be going through all that, and obviously that'll be part of our sort of cyclical analysis to see, you know, what changes we need to make going forward. So I would just say, if, you know, however the board decides they want to configure this, I think the opportunity would be there to provide that feedback that we can then take in along with whatever else we're also getting, and then, you know, decide. I don't know at this point, we haven't really decided like how often these changes will be made, but I mean, we could certainly take the board's input and as part of that process. Sorry, back to you, Marcia.
Okay. I think, yeah, I think, Dave, that'd be a conversation for you and Marla to have, you know, as moving forward. I know that there are some other subcommittees that would come under, and so we'll just see how that works.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Other questions or comments? All right. Well, with that, I would like to thank Christopher, Michelle, Jeff, and Marcia for your presentations. They were very informative and thoughtful, and we appreciate it. And Christopher, this is a fantastic slide that we have just enjoyed looking at for this entire presentation. No, I'm just kidding. Anyhow, we for those who have asked, we're trying to get this slide down. It's somewhat confusing to have it up while we're talking about other topics. So the next item on our agenda is the election of a new chair for the advisory board. So this is bittersweet. The Regal Community Development and Regulatory Improvement Act of 1994, which created the CDFI Fund and this advisory board, states that, and I quote, "The members of the board specified shall select by majority vote a chairperson of the board who shall serve for a term of 2 years." And my term is coming to a close with this meeting. And before I ask for nominations, I'd like to thank the members of this advisory board, and especially those that served on the CDFI Certification Subcommittee, as we discussed a lot of heavy lifting toward the end of last year or fall of last year. Greatly, greatly appreciated. Personally, I would like to thank my colleagues on the board, and also just, I think it's incredible to have been able to be a part of the board during this historic moment, as I said, of crossing that finish line with the new certification guidelines. Personally, this has been a huge honor of my career to be the first Latino person and only the second female in this role in the 29-year history of the advisory board. So it's a feather that I will wear in my cap proudly, you know, as long as I live, truly. It's been really, really a wonderful experience and an honor to be in the role. So I would now like to call for nominations. Floor is open.
Hi, Marla. This is Michael again. I'd like to nominate Dave Glazer to become chair of the advisory board. He's been just a heartbeat away all this time, and so it'll give us some continuity. He has been vice chair during this time, so I would nominate Dave Glazer to take a step up to the chair.
Second.
All right. I don't know if we need a second. If we do, I would gladly second that. You know, my partner here in this role has been really fantastic and has had a front row seat to seeing how this all plays out. So I think he's very well prepared to step into the role. Very quiet group today. Okay. Well, all private citizen members in favor of electing Dave Glaser as chair, please reply yay and raise your hand to indicate affirmative vote and keep your hand raised so we can record the vote.
This is Darren. I'm a yes, but you cannot see me and my hand is raised.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, Marla. I'm on a call as well. This is Harold. I'm raising my hand as well in support of Dave.
Appreciate it. Of course, I've got to move my cursor over to see everybody. All right, it looks like we are good. Well, congratulations, Vice Chair, now Chair.
Thank you, Marla. Those are big shoes to fill.
I don't know about that, but yeah, thanks. Great. So with the majority of the vote in the affirmative, we have a new advisory board chair. Okay. And we'll see what our next order of business was. We've had a couple of changes. All right. So actually, I'll hand it over to you, Dave, to close out the meeting. We are ending earlier than anticipated, but this is now your show.
Just like a baton passing in a relay.
Literally.
We have officially completed the items on the agenda for this meeting, but I would like to ask if any advisory board members have any closing business. Hearing none.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, before we close out, I'm not sure if we'll handle this during the next meeting, but with you moving into chair, naturally that then leaves an opening for vice chair that I think we'll need to at some point take action around.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. Our plan is to address that at the next advisory board meeting.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that to the attention of the board. Are there any other matters of business before moving on? Great. Please note that we will be having our next meeting in person in Washington, D.C. in April. And within the next week, yay, in person, within the next week, you'll receive an email from Bill. I wanted you all to know that I am honored to serve as chair and look forward to working with the advisory board members to further the mission of the CDFI Fund and CDFIs nationally. We have exciting work ahead on our board committees, and I am sincerely appreciative of the efforts of our board and the CDFI Fund staff. And one last shout out to Marla. It was an honor serving with you as chair.
It was a pleasure. I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Hearing no other business, would someone please move that we adjourn our meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Who was that that moved? Was that Darren?
Was Darren. Yes.
Great. Thank you, Darren. And who was the second?
Congratulations, Dave.
Harold.
Thank you. Harold second. Excellent. I'd like to thank the public who joined us today as well, and I'd like to offer my sincere thanks to the advisory board members for taking time for the meeting today. This meeting of the Community Development Advisory Board is now adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. Participants, you may disconnect at this time.